The Reg Blast Podcast by Equest. Bite-sized legal and reg updates.
Demystify funds regulation and jargon with the Quest Academy. Tailored funds industry training programs to help you march up the learning curve.
Hi podcast listeners. Welcome to episode 4 of the Reg Blast Podcast by Equest. It's the 22nd of May 2019 and we've got an interesting agenda lined up for this episode. We're going to look at the cross-border distribution of AIFs and UCITS and some new regulatory changes there. We're going to look at some fines recently issued by the Central Bank of Ireland and pay a little bit of attention to some recent speeches by representatives from the Central Bank of Ireland with plenty of interesting content in there. Before we kick off the podcast, just to mention a couple of things. Firstly, the first ever Funds Masterclass by Equest is taking place on the 28th of June. It's going to be held in the brand new Business School at Trinity College Dublin. If you are interested in more information on the agenda and how to buy tickets, check it out at fundsmasterclass.eventbrite.com. The other thing to mention is that the report that Quest is producing called First 18, From Survive to Thrive, will be available very, very shortly. If you're interested in getting your hands on a copy, check out quest.ie, click the First 18 button and you'll be able to register your interest there and get hold of a copy as soon as it becomes available. Now, on with the podcast.
The Reg Blast Podcast by Equest. Bite-sized legal and reg updates.
For this episode, I'm delighted to be joined by my co-host, Deirdre Riley. Hi, Deirdre.
Hi, Danny. Nice to see you again.
Good to have you back.
Thank you very much.
So I said we want to kick off by talking about the cross-border distribution of AIFs and UCITS and some new regulatory changes that have come through there. They were just approved by the European Parliament on the 16th of April 2019. This piece of work actually goes back quite a while to the Capital Markets Union project, which kicked off around 2015-2016, but it's taken that long for this piece to come through. Now, the CMU has kind of gone into abeyance a little bit because since it was created and there was a lot of momentum around it initially, obviously the Brexit vote happened and that's really taken away a lot of the resources probably from the Commission and people who would have worked on this. And also, of course, London being a very central part to the European capital market, it doesn't help that we don't know what their role will be in the future. But notwithstanding that, this piece on cross-border distribution of UCITS and AIFs has made it through the legislative process, and there are some very useful improvements to the passporting regime included in those new rules. They're set out in a directive and in a regulation. They come into effect around Q3 2021, so probably 2.5 years away, but it's on the way. And the kind of things that it deals with are pre-marketing for AIFs. So the question there was always, you have an AIF passport, but if an investor comes to a fund unsolicited and looks to invest, then that's okay, but you don't need to register for marketing in that jurisdiction. But there was always that gray area about, well, if I wanted to do pre-marketing in a member state, do I need to register and use my passport first, or am I allowed to engage in pre-marketing? And so the new rules make it clear that you are allowed to engage in pre-marketing, but there are some strict restrictions around it. You are allowed to do it for existing AIFs and for AIFs that are yet to be established, but you have to make it very clear that it is not an offer that you are making. It's simply advising them that the funds exist. If some subscriptions come through from the investors that you have pre-marketed to within 18 months, then you do have to go through and follow up with a registration and a passporting notification because it's assumed that that investment came as a result of the pre-marketing activity. But some useful clarifications there and a little bit more scope to do pre-marketing as a result of these changes. There are also additional rules on providing local facilities and some changes there that are kind of useful. So under UCITS, there has always been a requirement for fund management companies to provide a local facilities agent where local investors can get information and copies of prospectuses and accounts and process subscription redemption applications and what have you. That requirement is now being carried through into AIFMD, where an AIF is being sold to retail investors, but helpfully it's being clarified that host member states cannot require physical presence in their jurisdiction of this local facilities agent, so it can be done using digital means, and that's a very useful clarification. The new rules also deal with discontinuing marketing of a UCITS or an EU AIF in a host member state. That was always a bit of a question for regulators where a provider wanted to cease marketing. not such an issue where there are no local investors in the fund, but if you registered in France and there are still French investors in the fund, there was a question as to how you should approach the deregistration, because you don't want to do any harm to those investors remaining in the fund. So these new rules make it clearer and easier to discontinue marketing. You do need to obviously notify your home regulator, and you do need to allow the investors a period of 30 days within which to redeem before the deregistration takes place. The new rules align some of the approaches on notifications. So where you make a material change to documentation relating to an existing fund that's already been marketed, then it's clear now that the host regulator has only 15 days within which to say that they have an issue with any proposed changes. So they've got to come back within 15 days. And then also, as part of the regulation that forms this package, there's rules around marketing communications, some fairly straightforward stuff there that they have to be identifiable as marketing communications and have to describe the risks and rewards of purchasing units. And of course, they have to be fair, clear, and not misleading. There is an ability for host regulators to verify marketing communications and require marketing communications to be sent to them for verification, but they're not allowed to do any more than check that the marketing communications comply with the directives. There are provisions on creating a central database for providing local rules on national marketing requirements, and also for providing clarity and transparency on the fees and charges that are going to be levied by host regulators. There's a provision in there that says host regulators, when they're charging fees, it should be linked to the activities that they're going to carry out. And obviously, as a host regulator, the amount of activity you can do in terms of supervision of a fund is very limited. Finally, there's provisions in there for ESMA to maintain central registers of all funds and management companies as well. So some very welcome developments that should make it a little bit easier for providers of funds to utilize passports and market their funds across the union.
So fairly recently, the Central Bank issued or published two enforcement actions. One was in relation to Bank of Montreal, Ireland PLC, and the other one was for Campbell O'Connor and Company. In the case of Bank of Montreal, it obviously mainly primarily relates to their regulatory reporting requirements, in particular in relation to conditions imposed on an operational risk return. I think the two takeaway points from this particular fine is that obviously in the case of Bank of Montreal, the operational risk return requirements were imposed as a condition of their authorization, and that firms should be aware of the conditions that have been imposed on their firm on an ongoing basis, complying with those. And in addition to that, that there was an over-reliance on Bank of Montreal's group policies, which obviously the Central Bank are always very vocal on the fact that any policy should be adapted for the local entity. And in the case of Bank of Montreal, as I understand it, there was an over-reliance on the group policy and that it wasn't adapted to take account of the conditions imposed at the local level. So the other fine that was recently released was in relation to Campbell O'Connor and Company. In the case of Campbell O'Connor, they were fined for 5 breaches of the Criminal Justice, Money Laundering and Terrorist Financing Act. The firm has admitted to these breaches. They were fined 400,000, which was reduced by 30% under the settlement discount scheme to 280,000. And in this case, it was a themed supervisory inspection by the Central Bank, which identified a number of failings in the firm's anti-money laundering and counter-terrorist financing framework. These breaches occurred between July 2010 and November 2016 and related to areas such as failure to conduct appropriate money laundering terrorist financing risk assessments, failure to adopt adequate policies and procedures, obviously failure to monitor and scrutinise customers' transactions. Also, they pointed to training to the staff and obviously having an appropriate arrangement in place in relation to third parties on which you rely in relation to customer due diligence measures or agreements. Obviously, what's interesting is that we are talking about a stockbroker, and that this is the first enforcement action taken by the Central Bank for a stockbroker in relation to breaches of the Criminal Justice Act.
So the regulator does say, as part of its mandate, it wants to have a credible enforcement deterrent, and this is evidence of them pursuing that mandate, I guess.
Absolutely, yeah.
So also some very interesting speeches by the regulator over the last couple of weeks. And particularly we looked at the one by Michael Hodgson, who's the Director of Asset Management and Investment Banking at the Central Bank. He delivered a speech on the 14th of May to an event in London, and tons of good material in there for the Reg Blast podcast. Yeah. What had he to say?
Yeah, certainly. He covered off quite a number of topics. I mean, he touched on Brexit, which I think we discussed the last time I was at a podcast with yourself. So I don't know if we need to cover that one again, but he also covered off areas in relation to, obviously, CP86. I mean, that's one of interest in your area. Just again, focusing on the fact that the central bank in general has been quite vocal about the fact that they will be performing a thematic review in the near future. So he was just reiterating the planning process around that.
So everybody's cards are marked in the FundManco world that there are CP86 inspections on the way.
Absolutely, yeah. I think there will be, obviously, in terms of how those processes work, you know, the questionnaire will be issued to the industry and thereafter a desk-based review.
He had an interesting piece about newly authorised fund management companies sort of encouraging them or letting them know that they are expected to push on and activate the authorisation and deliver on the commitments that they've made to the regulator as part of the authorisation process, whether that's about transitioning business to the Irish ManCo or hiring resources or whatever it is. The fact that we don't have a date for Brexit and we don't know whether it's going to be hard or soft or whatever isn't doesn't give the flexibility to those ManCos to kind of delay what they need to do. They've got to push on, and I think everybody's cards are marked on that.
Yeah, certainly. You know, everyone is dealing with the challenges of Brexit, and the fact that it was deferred creates challenges in itself. But I suppose the message here is that that the central bank is conscious of any conditions that may have been imposed as part of that authorisation or allowances made in relation to Brexit, but that they need to be looking at the long-term context. And obviously, once you're authorised, as far as the central bank is concerned, you're authorised, and therefore you should comply with any authorisation requirements that were imposed on the firm from the outset, regardless of Brexit.
Michael also talked about the uses of commons in the context of Brexit and firms setting up as a result of Brexit. He had an interesting piece about the distribution of funds and proposals that they're seeing come through on using secondments. What he said was, this can work, but only where, in the opinion of the central bank, there is sufficient management resource, organisational structure, and where no other risks are present. So the overall structure is in relation to control and risk management satisfies the central bank. However, if the secondment is simply structured as a device to circumvent the EU rules, then we will have no appetite to approve such arrangements. Indeed, we have not approved a number of arrangements which we saw as legalistic, technical, or indeed even artificial attempts to do just that. So again, he's very much laying the cards on the table that artificial arrangements that are kind of workarounds aren't going to pass muster with the regulator.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I suppose this comes back to substance requirements again. And where allowances may have been made for the difficulty of Brexit, obviously in the long term, the substance needs to be there.
He had something to say on outsourcing as well. Of course, that's very topical. The central bank has recently had a day-long conference on outsourcing across the financial services industry generally. But again, he's flagging that outsourcing, particularly fund administrator outsourcing, is something that the regulator is going to be focused on.
Yeah, I'd say across the board of all industries, they're particularly interested in outsourcing. I suppose traditionally in the funds industry, it was particularly a prevalent activity. Certainly his speech, I think it's just really to point in the direction of his speech. He just reiterates some of the points that he's made before, or at least that the central bank has made before, you know, about poor governance and controls around risk assessments and managing of outsourcing, inadequate monitoring and reporting of outsourcing, a failure to consider outsourced service providers from a business continuity perspective, and also an absence of exit strategies, and that's important too. And also, obviously, they always hone in on the complexity of outsourcing in terms of offshoring and chain outsourcing. And another consideration is the fact that, obviously, the complexity of IT developments in relation to outsourcing cloud cloud service providers in that area.
He's talked also about the new regulations that apply to depositories, both of UCITS and of AIFs. And so these regulations come on the back of the ESMA opinion on asset segregation and on record keeping. And so both of those are issues he's flagging in his speech. He's saying that there is a good bit of work for depositories to do in advance of the regulations coming into effect on the 1st of April 2020. The bank is conscious of that, and it's started to engage with depositories and with the industry to see how they are going to comply. It seems to be particularly the record keeping requirement that might be tricky, because it's very clear now that depositories need to keep and maintain their own internal depository records. There might be industry practices that vary from that at the moment. So that's going to be a bit of work for those firms to get through up to the 1st of April of next year. And then finally, he's flagged that the amendments to the Central Bank UCITS regulations, which have been sort of, they were under consultation in CP119 last year, so they've been around for a little while. That process seems to be coming to a conclusion as well. There's no major earthquake or shattering changes in the proposals in 119, but just to flag that they're going to be finalised in the very near future.
Yeah.
So that's it. A lot of material there from Michael. Good speech and plenty of flags laid in the ground there for the industry to have a fair idea of what's on the regulator's mind at the moment. Thank you very much for your contribution, Deirdre.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
That's the end of the podcast. We'll catch you next time on the next episode of the Reg Blast podcast. Thanks very much for listening.
Request Academy demystifies funds regulation and jargon, helping you march up the learning curve. If you want to see how good we are at what we do, apply for free in-person 45-minute masterclass. Check out request.ie for more details.
The Reg Blast podcast by Request. Bite-sized legal and reg updates.